As Sam said at the beginning, today is the Sunday after Ascension, and next Sunday is Pentecost. It's one of those sort of now but not yet kind of moments that the church has throughout its liturgical year. And that ties in very much with a lot of Paul's teaching. He talks very much about, because what Christ did for us, we've achieved this, but not yet. And as I'm sure I've said before, in the last 2,000 years, that kind of imminence has worn a little thin. We don't tend to think of the now being in my lifetime, but we don't know. We're reminded initially in that reading from Ezekiel that they were waiting for a long time before this. In that reading, the coming, pouring out of the Spirit is prophesied. It says, I will move you to follow my decrees and keep my laws. It takes the pouring out of the Spirit, perhaps, to make people do what God wants us to. I'm not sure. I will move you to follow my decrees and keep my laws. In that reading from Acts, we have an odd story, but I think Paul is, for me, perhaps unusually human in this one. I can almost imagine walking along the road and this woman following, shouting out the same thing over and over again. And I almost imagine him saying, in the name of Christ, shut up! A peculiar act. Is it healing? She didn't benefit from her gift. Her owners did. And as in so many stories, we don't know what happens to her afterwards. But because of what Paul did, something God needed to happen, happens. He's thrown into jail after this horrific beating. And then there's an earthquake. But through his teaching and witness, a whole household is introduced to the wonderful love of God. Paul can't really have many complaints about this in a way, because at the beginning of Acts, it was the sort of thing he was doing to people. He was involved in the group of people who stoned Stephen in Acts 6, 7, beginning of 7. We don't know much about where Silas came from, perhaps. But through the witness of these people, God's love is shared. I struggle at times with the idea that it is through people's suffering that God becomes known. Perhaps that's just my nature. I don't like to think of a God that needs people to suffer or wants people to suffer. Sometimes I think it's rather despite the actions of humans, God's will is done, not because of them. Despite the horrific things that are done, God's love is made known. So having that, had that very human reaction at the beginning of the reading, all of a sudden he does something that's perhaps very counterintuitive. If you've been thrown into prison and God sends an earthquake and the walls break down and your chains fall off, isn't the human instinct to run? But he sits there with Silas and they sing and they pray. And all the other prisoners stay with them. Now that's inspirational and incredible preaching. In John, we have this convoluted passage where Jesus is talking about people will come to faith through those who already have the faith. Even though they don't know you, I know you. They will be made known through me making you known kind of passage. People will come to faith through those who already believe. And he prays that we are one, become one, like he and the Father are one. How can we fulfill a calling like that? Perhaps by being a visible presence, by our example, both as individuals and as a church. If we don't appear united, what example are we? Would anybody want to join a group of people that are arguing amongst themselves? There are things we do well as church communities, noticeably doing things that benefit many and the planet. Very visible solar panels that is very relevant at the moment. People notice things about that because the environment is at the forefront of a lot of people's thinking. We provide services that the community needs and benefits from. Preschool, story box, chat and play. There's so much that happens in our premises that bring people in because they benefit from it. Social gatherings and joint interest groups. All sorts of people come in here. We do speak out against injustice. We visibly are involved in charitable causes. Something we can do is praise the good that we see in people and in the community. We seem to live in a world where so many people just, especially the media, report bad news, what people have done wrong, and isn't it depressing? But actually sometimes we can turn around and say, what you did there was really good. I can tell you, I can honestly recommend going away for an amount of time and coming back. I shouldn't need that kind of affirmation, but I have been overwhelmed by how pleased some people have been to see me. I've been greeted like an old friend, and that is wonderful. I mean, I didn't know that some of you would notice I'd gone, but there's something really affirming in people just saying, oh, how lovely to see you. Did you have a good time? How are you? How's your husband? It's wonderful to know that people care. God wants us to make his love known. Some of us are very actively involved in preaching and teaching, but we're all doing it whenever we discuss things with people. Usually without realising it, discussing the morals of the latest film or whatever, issues that have been in the news. Without realising it, we share our insights that often come from the thing that roots us in our faith. Conversion can happen through relationships. And we often don't know it's happened. It can be years later where something that was said at Messy Church triggers in somebody's mind and thinks, yes, I remember that that place welcomed me. There was love demonstrated. And somebody might come 10 years down the line. There are difficult questions, and sometimes we're afraid to have those discussions. but sometimes just merely saying, I don't have all the answers. There are some mysteries known only to God. That in itself can be a witness, because people tend to think that people in the church do think they've got all the answers. Admitting our own weakness can in itself be witness. The purpose perhaps is not introduction to the church, being, you know, meeting at 9:30 on Sunday. But sometimes we introduce people through fellowship groups, toddler groups, the groups I've mentioned already. Jesus went to where people were, and we do the same in our daily life. There's no rule as to how we should do it. It's as individual as we are. But we should share the good news. All Christians are called to be evangelists. That is, people who share the good news about what God has done for us through Jesus. And when those difficult questions come, sometimes it is through the response that Christ is made known. One of the brothers at Taizé was moved to write a reflection after a Palestinian woman who was at Taizé, just after those horrible shootings and that bombing had happened in Norway in 2011. And she commented, "There are so many of us here. We're so different from each other, and yet we are one family." Brother Alwar then wrote, "Yes, Christ unites us in one communion. It's like a little Pentecost. It is the joy of the risen Christ that unites us. This joy does not make us forget the suffering we see in the world. On the contrary, it gives us the courage to deal with difficult situations. When faced with the incomprehensible suffering of the innocent, we're often bewildered. And the question, the cry running through human history, touches the hearts of us all. Where is God? As Christians, we have no ready-made answers to this question. Christ himself, the one sent from God, did not give an explanation, but he shared the question with us to the last breath of his life on earth. Jesus told us clearly that God does not want suffering. During his passion on the cross, he refused fatalism and passivity. He loved to the very end, despite the absurd and incomprehensible character of suffering. He kept on trusting that God is greater than evil and death, and would have the last word. I think we can and must follow Christ in this. The answer to the question of suffering is not an idea or a theory. It's by our lives that we can answer. Our answer in the steps of Christ can only be to love more those entrusted to us. Amen.